alternative investing is scary because everyone knows the stock market. Everyone understands that you put your money in there. You know, everyone's doing the 401k where you partner with the government and, you know, you're highly taxed and the returns aren't that great, but they don't know there's something else. The alternative is scary. And so we want to show them it doesn't have to be scary. You can do this, but it's so much better to do it with the community.
Welcome to Investing in the US, a podcast for real estate investors, business owners, and aspiring entrepreneurs looking to grow their wealth by investing in US real estate. I'm your host, Reid Goossens, and so far, I've acquired over $800 million worth of investments on various properties across the United States. On this podcast, I interview go-getters, risk-takers, and the best in the business to learn more about their investment journey and the cutting-edge strategies they are applying towards building a legacy. For more on growing your own wealth and by investing in the US, visit www.reidgoossens.com. Today on the show, I had the pleasure of speaking with Jim Pfeiffer. Now, Jim was the founder and president and CEO of Left Field Investors, which is now called Passive Pockets, and something we're going to talk about in depth on today's show. Now, formerly, Jim was a financial advisor, and he committed to sharing his knowledge with others, eager to explore alternative ways to grow their wealth. And Jim believes in community personal finance and works with Passive Pockets to promote passive investments and real estate syndications through knowledge sharing, networking, and continuous learning. The Left Field Investor community collectively reviews and discusses investing opportunities, ensuring well-informed decisions and access to unique prospects. And Jim has a diverse professional background and holds a degree in finance and marketing. He resides in Dublin, Ohio with his family. But I'm really pumped and excited to have him back on the show because he was on this show a few months ago to share the story about the evolution of Passive Pockets. But enough out of me. Let's get him out here. G'day, Jim. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing great, Reid. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, it is a pleasure to have you on. And we've been talking a little bit over the last couple of weeks. But for those people who haven't tuned into your story, do you want to just give a quick background on, you know, where you started from? And then we'll get into the nuts and bolts of the evolution of Left Field Investing. And then now it's called Passive Pockets. So really, yeah, really excited to unpack this story here, knowing your background and, you know, the friendship we've forged over the last couple of years.
Yeah, sure. So real quick, I'll try to keep my story brief, but this is like career number six for me. I was, I was a finance major, as you said, in college. I got my first job in the reinsurance industry. Then I, got tired of corporate life and I became a high school teacher, finance and accounting. And then I was a financial advisor. And then I accidentally found real estate. And that's where everything clicked. I used to be a big stock market guy. And then as I was learning how to be a financial advisor, they were teaching me about money. At the same time, I was an accidental landlord, and it just showed me that real estate is really a better place to put your money than in paper assets. So slowly I transitioned and went fully active real estate, but I was not good at that, Reid. I was not a good asset manager, but lucky for me, the market saved me on all those assets that didn't cash flow. They all made a bunch of money on the other side, appreciation. And when I realized I wasn't very good at managing the assets, that's when I luckily found real estate syndications. And that's somewhere where I could find an asset manager, hire them, and they would do all the work. And I would just give them the money and I'd do all my work up front, vetting the operator and analyzing the deal. And so when I finally found that, I knew that's what I wanted to do. But I had learned, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. And the best way to learn is from others. So I created what was going to be just a dinner club in Columbus where I live. We're going to have 12 people having dinner and talking about passive investing. And that was in March of 2020. Pandemic came. We never met in person. We went online and grew from there. And we found that there's just such a thirst and passion for this, that the more people found out about it, the more people wanted to join our community. So we started Left Field Investors. I went from an accidental landlord to an accidental business owner, where we didn't start that on purpose, but we grew the community. And we got to the point where we had really passionate members of our community, members that are excited. They like each other. They're talking, they're communicating. We have all kinds of resources for them. And we realized as a team that what we didn't have were the resources to really do all the things that we wanted to do for the community, to provide all the tools and investor help and all the things that we wanted to do. We just couldn't do it at Left Field Investors. And that's when we talked to Bigger Pockets. You know, they're the largest real estate community in the world. And so they know a thing or two about communities. And we talked to them and they were thinking about starting this group Passive Pockets because what they have is they have a lot of active investors. And when they, most of our founders of LFI, you know, we quotes graduated from BiggerPockets when we went into passive. And so BiggerPockets wanted to, you know, serve those people also. And we started talking and realized it's a perfect match. They have the resources, the knowledge, and the ability to create amazing communities. And what we had was the experience and knowledge of how to, you know, what passive investors were looking for in a community. And we realized that they could help us kind of elevate left field investors. And they realized that we could offer them a shortcut where they didn't have to learn through all the mistakes that we made in building left field investors. So it really kind of just came together. And the thing that I'm most pleased about, I think, is that the team at Passive Pockets that came over from BiggerPockets, they are as committed as we are to maintaining the culture of left field investors, because our members built a wonderful culture. It's not what, you know, the founders built. It's what the people in the community built. And so we want to preserve that. And it was just amazing to see BiggerPockets come on, and everything they've said was, yep, we want to do the same thing. We want that culture, that community. And so we're just really pleased with the partnership. And, you know, we just launched this week and just super excited.
That's, man, I'm so happy for you. When you reached out to me a couple of weeks back, or maybe a month or so ago now, just to announce it to, you know, because we've been active on left field investors and had some great success there. I was just, you know, tickled pink for you guys. You know, I know how hard you worked. Building communities is tough. And really, I think the sort of understanding where your role is, like I'm an active operator, and you know, we know where our role is, right? And having partners like yourself where we capitalize deals together is just super powerful. But having that down-to-earth approach, I think, has been my image of left field investors from day one. You know, the no BS, just the, hey, everyone's welcome, we're here to learn, and we're just trying to break it down as much as possible so everyone can benefit and you know, go from there. So I think my question is more curiosity, knowing you guys, is when did it come that you thought, hey, we need to do more here, or we want to grow it more? Like, what was that? You know, was there an idea? Because most people are looking to, you know, wind things down and exit. You know, this for you seems like it's really thrown the fuel on the fire and to really make it something really quite substantial.
You know, we built this community, and it was not on purpose. But then we feel an obligation, right? Because we've brought all these people in who are committed to themselves and building their financial future. They're committed to each other. They're committed to the community. And so we wanted to be able to sustain that. But also, I want to bring in people that don't even know this is possible, that you can build financial freedom through passive real estate investing. People don't know about it. And so you need to grow your community in order to get the word out. And we want to bring more people in. And what we realized at Left Field Investors, we had built this great community, but it's really hard to sustain it. We had, you know, the founders, the people that were working for us, they were working, you know, their regular job and then doing LFI on the side. We could not compensate them for the work they were doing at the level they should have been. And these guys were doing just amazing work throughout our community. And we realized what we were lacking was the resources to really grow the community in order to sustain the community. And that's where the partnership with BiggerPockets just made total sense, because they have the resources and they've already done this. They have a huge community in the active space. And so, you know, our passion is we want to do the same in the passive space. And it's not just building a community and growing it so we can say, yay, we have X number of members. It's because the more people you get that are like-minded, that are building the same thing, financial freedom, and want to do this kind of investing, the more of those you have, the better purchasing power you have, because you can hook up with sponsors and say, hey, we'll bring you a bunch of investors, give us better terms. But more than that, you can just learn. I've learned more than anybody from left field investors, right? I've learned from someone who didn't even know what a syndication was. And I'm having a conversation with them. They ask a great question. And then there's some super experienced investors. So I've learned from everybody. So it's just a great partnership. And our commitment is we want left field investors to just keep on going through Passive Pockets and become a better and better community. Cause I think it's a fantastic place already. And we're just going to make it better is our hope.
That's awesome. So how does the interface now work with the Passive Pocket? So for those people listening out there, both on the operator side, but also on the passive side, how does that work? Because I know personally how BiggerPockets works. I've used it over the years. And to your point, it's a really great time in an evolution of someone's growth, but there is a natural exit that people have from the community when they get a little bit more experience. So how does that look now as you've combined what you've you know, what I'll call left field investors, that graduation, bringing it back to bigger pockets to make them be more seamless across the investor's journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we are part of Bigger Pockets, but it's a completely separate entity, Passive Pockets, with a completely separate website and login and all of that. And so, you know, everything from left field investors, all the forum posts that we had, all the education, all of that has been transferred. And we're just gonna build on that. And of course, there's some growing pains because change is scary and not everything's exactly the same. But, you know, what we're trying to target, really, there's a few different types of people who are interested in passive investing, right? As you said, it's the people that graduate from Bigger Pockets. Maybe they're still doing some active rentals, but maybe they don't want to be as active, so they want to get into passive a little bit. Well, before, you know, you could post something in the forum of Bigger Pockets, but you're not getting specialized content. Now they can go to Passive Pockets and get that specialized content. We're also reaching out to, you know, W-2 people that just work a regular job and maybe don't want to keep putting all their money in the stock market and watching it go up and down. Maybe they want to have better tax benefits, you know, all the benefits of real estate you can get in syndications. And we're trying to help them and educate them because it's scary. Alternative investing is scary because everyone knows the stock market. Everyone understands that you put your money in there. You know, everyone's doing the 401k where you partner with the government and you know, you're highly taxed and the returns aren't that great, but they don't know there's something else. The alternative is scary. And so we want to show them that it doesn't have to be scary. You can do this, but it's so much better to do it with the community.
Hey guys, this is a quick ad for our latest multifamily investment opportunity called the Avalon Apartments, located in Dallas, Texas, the fastest growing MSA in the nation. Now, rapid fire, here are the three reasons why we love this asset. Firstly, great investor returns of over 20% annualized. The second thing, of the 226 units, 30% have already been renovated and they're achieving a $250 rental premium. Now, our business plan is pretty simple. We'll come in and renovate the remaining 70% to achieve those proven rental levels, then rely on a modest 3% rent growth thereafter. It's very conservative, very straightforward, and the same thing we have been doing successfully for over a decade. Now, last thing, pricing for multifamily apartment properties have fallen more today than they did during the 2008 global financial crisis. This could very well be the best time in commercial real estate cycle to pick up cheap assets. If you're interested to find out more, click on the link below. So how do you then make sure the vetting process coming on for deals coming on the lot, like, you know, for that person interested to be a passive investor, how are you ensuring that it's not the cereal aisle, you know, that you're walking down and you can have all these choices, and how do you know which one to choose from? Because I think that is a big part of, you know, being overwhelmed, right? I think. as an operator, I'm like, hell yeah. But how do you then make sure the receiving end is well received and people know where to look, so it's not just like, oh, this is up on Passive Pockets, it must be good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because they, you run that risk of not everything looks the same and everything.
Yes.
You know, how do you compare a 18 IRR versus a 15 IRR and all that sort of stuff? So how have you guys gone about thinking? Maybe you're so early that you don't know, but have you gone about thinking about structuring it that way for the receiving end of that passive investor?
Yeah, well, it's extremely complicated, right? Because what we want to do is provide as many options to the community members as possible. Right. But then you're right. You're walking through the cereal aisle on how do you compare? And, you know, what we learned at LFI and are passing on to Passive Pockets is you can't also just exist in this little LP world because you're investing with these operators. So you want the operators on the platform. Currently, as you know, as an operator on the platform, you can directly message with people in the community and have conversations. And then those LPs that you're having conversations with can then go into a platform that is just for LPs and you don't have access to and have conversations, right? So that's where it happens. We're trying to turn community into a verb where a new operator will come into Passive Pockets and the community will analyze and vet that operator and share information, right? And talk about the operator and ask the questions. And so it's community vetting, right? And then when a deal is posted, it's the same thing. Every deal, when it's posted in Passive Pockets, there is a dedicated forum area where you can discuss that deal with other LPs. And there's two separate forums, actually. One where, Reed, you could go and answer any questions because the LPs can talk directly with you. And then there's also under the in that deal page, there's a place where they can talk with each other and talk about the deal and compare it to a different deal. So it's really about empowering the community. And it is difficult to walk that line because we don't want to, as passive pockets, we don't want to have favorite operators. And we certainly don't want someone coming on the website and thinking, oh, because it's posted in passive pockets, that means it's endorsed, because it's not. It's up to the community to vet those deals. It's similar to, you know, when I first got into passive investing, I went to a conference and I had an old IRA rollover, 401k rollover that was burning a hole in my pocket. And I thought, oh, all of these operators that are at the conference, they must be the top of the top, because otherwise, why would they be invited? So I just walked around with my money and said, hey, you're an operator. Here's some money. Here's some money. You know, and it was a terrible way to invest, but I didn't know any better. And just because they're there doesn't mean they're the best operators. And so what you need is you need to vet them as a person and as a community. And it's similar when you come into passive pockets. You know, it's up to the individual and the communities, which are all the individuals together, to vet those operators and analyze those deals together. That's the purpose of the community, is to make us all better investors by talking about it, discussing it, and looking at deals together.
So let's segue into that. You know, put your passive pockets hat on as an LP. And you know this from building LFI, but like, what's the number one or not, maybe a couple of handful of things that to that layman, you know, passive investor listening to this today, that when you're going into these communities, what's the onus that they should be understanding when they're looking at all these deals, when they're looking at the serial aisle? Like, I'm sure you've probably boiled it down to a handful of things that you say, look, if you can identify this, this, and this, a bit of a checklist, that will give you, at least get you going. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So what do you like to look for in a sponsor as a passive investor as you're shopping around the serial aisle?
Yeah, well, I mean, sponsor operator is the most critical part to me and to most in our community. It is absolutely, if you pick the wrong operator, doesn't matter how great a deal it was, they could run it into the ground. I know that because I managed my own properties and I did not do well at it, right? So I want to pick A-plus operators, but it's difficult, right? Because most of them are very well-spoken and excellent marketers, right? So you got to get beyond that. You got to get beyond just hearing them on a podcast. You need to, as an individual, you need to call them up and have a conversation with them. And they're going to give you the marketing spiel and all that. And that's normal. That's totally fine. There's a couple things you got to be looking for. Some questions that I ask is, I want to know what the communication is like, because these are illiquid, you know, highly out of your control deals, right? And they're long-term. So you have no control over these deals. So you want to make sure you're with someone who's going to communicate, because I don't care how much money you're making me. If I can't get an update and find out what's happening to the $50,000 that I sent you, I am not going to invest with you again. So I want communication, and I test that. And there's a bunch of ways I do that is, you know, I'll send a couple emails asking questions, even if I already know the answers, just to see the quality of response, the timeliness of the response. So that's one part. You really want to make sure the communication is good. And then also, as I said, these are long-term deals, right? The deals that I invest with you, I might be with you for 3, 5, maybe 10 years. I want to make sure I'm doing business with someone that I like, or at least that I don't dislike, because it's different than investing in the stock market. I always use Apple, Tim Cook, as the example. I can't call him up and say, hey, I just invested in Apple. Can you tell me when the new iPhone's coming out, right? I'm not going to get to talk to him. But if I invest with you, Reed, I can call you up and say, hey, the occupancy in this place is 90%. Your pro forma said it was going to be 95. What's going on, right? And when I have that conversation, I would rather have it with someone that, you know, I enjoy being with, that maybe I could have a beer with, rather than some guy that I don't like and he doesn't like me. So that's it sounds like it shouldn't be important, but these are long term. You're going to be together for 5 or 10 years in a business together. So you got to like the person. So those are a couple of things that I look for. And the other thing, the main thing that I look for now is, I won't invest with a new operator unless they're referred to me by somebody in my community who I know, like, and trust, who's already invested with the operator. And the key to that is, if I ask you, Reed, for recommendations for LPs, right? You're not going to give me the ones that that don't like you or had a bad experience with you. And I'm not saying anybody did. You're not going to necessarily give me the ones from the deals that didn't go to pro forma. You're going to give me your favorite investors because they love you. And of course you're going to. And I'd love to talk to them and hear from them. But I also want to get a recommendation from someone in my community who's invested with you. And I get that directly from them. It doesn't mean I don't do any vetting. It means I'm 10, 20, 100 steps ahead because I already know that when I send you my wire, you're going to receive it. I already know from this other person that what you say you're going to do, you do. You send the reports quarterly or monthly or however you do it. If I have questions, you're going to answer them. All of that stuff is critical. This is a different kind of investing. And so those are some of the things that I look for in operators, is just to kind of ask the questions and make sure that they're willing to answer them.
Yep. No, I think that's a really important first step. How do you then take it to the next step and look at the deal itself? Like, because every deal, again, look at syndicator A has got a 17 IRR and syndicator B has got a 14% IRR. How do you go and then take that next step to say, what's the difference between the two?
Yeah, and that's really complicated, right? And so I generally don't look at two deals at a time and say, which one's better? I'm going to invest in that. I look at them each independently and decide if the assumptions, if I believe in the assumptions in the pro forma. Right. So I've already decided that I like the operator, that I think they're going to do a good job. I've analyzed their track record. I've done all of my due diligence, their communication. So now I'm looking at the deal. So I am going in thinking they're going to send me a quality deal because they're a quality operator. I already vetted them. And so I'm not going to dig in and re-underwrite the deal. That's not who I am. That's not my job. It's your job to underwrite the deal. But I'm going to do a pretty deep spot check. And the way I learned to do that is that Passive Pockets, we have a deal analyzer tool. And so I can throw in, it's not Excel anymore. It's web-based, but I can throw in all of the metrics, the pro forma numbers that you give me, and it'll kind of tell me in the ranges. Yeah, this is normal. It's not normal. And that does a couple of things for me. One, anything that turns red flag, doesn't mean don't invest. For me, it means I'm going to ask you questions. And so that's another test. I can test your communication skills. And also, do you know your own deal? And are you willing to answer those questions? Or are you going to say, hey, we just did a webinar, watch the webinar. Okay, I've already watched the webinar. If you tell me that, that's easy. That's a pass, right? I want you to be able to answer my questions. And then if you answer all my questions and I don't have any more questions, I'm going to send you another email just to show you that I'm kind of a pain in the butt. And do you want to do business with me? And I'm going to see if you answer them again. So that those are some of the things that I do. But then through the deal analyzer, I also, after you do 5 or 10 deals through this deal analyzer, you will find out what some of your favorite metrics are, some of the things that you look for. And then once you have those, then the deal analysis becomes a lot easier because now you send me a deal and I can look at the 5 things that are most important to me. And then be like, okay, now I'm willing to take a little bit of a deeper dive. But I don't think that I know that I don't want to re-underwrite the whole deal, right? That's your job. I don't have the expertise. I'm a passive investor. So I'm going to spot check and I'm going to make sure that I've vetted you as an operator first. And then I'm going to spot check your deal and make sure it makes sense for me. And then, I'm going to look at the IRR, but that's not going to be the determining factor. And I'm not going to look at your deal and say, well, Joe over here sent me a deal also, which is better because it's all pro forma, right? The only thing I know about the numbers that you put in your pro formas are that they're wrong. I don't know if they're wrong up or down, but you don't have a crystal ball. They're certainly not right. Hopefully they're right directionally. Does that make sense? Yep.
Yeah, no, I was just about to say exactly the same thing. I don't think there's ever been a pro forma out there that has ever been 100% spot on. So to your point, you're either grossly over or grossly under. And yeah, it's investing at the end of the day, right? You have to understand that this is a pro forma is a sponsor's best guess at what's going to happen over the next 3, 4, 5, 7 years. But as an LP investor, the beauty about real estate in my mind is also you can compare, deals across markets when you boil it. Once you have a few reps at this deal analyzer, which sounds freaking awesome, you can then start to pick apart what you're trying to look, what do you really like? And you then also probably have to look at deals within the same market because you can't, a price per door in Phoenix might look different to a price per door in Tampa, right? And you have to understand that because, of taxes and all that sort of stuff. But understanding growth rate, understanding, okay, I'm going to buy at 100K a door and I'm going to sell it at 150K a door in 5 years' time. Does that seem right? Does that feel right? That's a 10% per year property appreciation growth. Okay. What sort of metrics do you have to back that up? Or what sort of comps do you have to back that up? Those are the things that I, even as a sponsor today, I have my complicated models, but I'm also going back to my gut. What am I buying it for? What am I selling it for? And can I meet those metrics? Because I know this is the special sauce from a sponsor. If I can add 50% value to an asset on a price per pound, so again, 100K door selling at 150K door, that will net out to about a mid-teen IRR, 15, 16% over a five-year hold. I've underwritten enough to know that. Mm-hmm. And that is just something for the people listening in passive pockets to understand going in price per pound, exit price per pound. And a lot of people talk about, oh, it's below replacement cost. Well, if you're buying at 200K a door at a 1980s vintage asset, and you're trying to sell it for 350K a door in 5 years' time, you know, to me, you know, the average house in America is about $350,000. So you're sort of starting to, you need to be like, that's not necessarily, it's a red flag, but you need to understand why. Like, is that in this the best U-Butte neighborhood of Tampa, you know, that's booming, or is it in, you know, some tertiary market, you know, somewhere else in the Midwest? So understanding the differences between deals and markets is good, but I think having reps in the deal analyzer, but it sounds which you have allowed the members to do, will help them get able to look, go down that cereal aisle and, hey, I want a sugary Cocoa Pops, or I want a, you know, a healthy muesli.
Right. So. Right. And you're right. And it's about the assumptions, right? You got to really, that's the one thing. I don't need to know is $800 rent or should it be $850, right? That's not something I'm going to dig into. I'm going to look at the comps and say, okay, they're in the ballpark, good enough. But then I'm going to look at the assumptions. Are you putting in your pro forma that year one rents are going to bump 6%? Okay. Because I know how rents, like, people move in at all different times. If you're going to get rent bumps up 6% in year one, that means you're probably, you know, doing a lot more than 6%. And is that even possible in that market? Or, you know, are you just throwing in 3% every year because that's what everybody else does? I want to look at the assumptions and know, are those realistic? And again, that's where a deal analyzer or just experience and also common sense, right? If in this market you see somebody who's putting 6% rent increases every year on their deals, I don't care what asset classes there are. You're not getting that anymore. Now, a few years ago, maybe that was more realistic, but it's not anymore. So you need to really make sure that the assumptions make sense, because you know better than I do. If you want to make your deal a 19 IRR, you can do it, right? You can just change a couple of numbers, and there you go. So it's not my job to go and confirm that 19% is right. My job is to go and confirm that all of your assumptions are realistic, and that if I ask you a question about any one of them, you can either defend them and tell me why, or you can say, you know what, that's a great question, let me get back to you, and then tell me why. And you're willing to do it. If you're not willing to do it, I'm not willing to give you my money.
Yep, I completely agree. Love it. Mate, I could chat with you for hours about the evolution of passive pockets, but I know I'm going to be respectful of your time. Let's dive into the top five investing tips. You ready to get into it?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Mate, question number one, what's the daily habit you practice to keep on track towards your goals?
It's really about my morning routine. I'm not a miracle morning guy. I tried it and I'm just not diligent enough. But what I do is I get up every morning and I go for a walk. I walk about an hour. I listen to some podcasts so I can kind of just get my mind going. And then I do, you know, I try to lift weights and do some exercise, but it's really just the walk, because it just starts my day. I know my day is going to start the same every day. And that really gives me a big boost.
Question number two is, who's been the most influential person in your career to date?
It's actually not a person. It's all of the people. It's the community. Right. This is all I talk about. And I'm sure people get sick of, there goes Jim on community again. But I got to tell you, the people in Left Field Investors have taught me so much. That's why I'm able to be, you know, financially free and do things like this podcast and just be a full-time investor because of the people in my community. And, you know, it doesn't have to be passive pockets. It doesn't have to be your community, but everybody needs a network and a community, because that's how you learn. That's how you grow. That's how you find out about these cool things like passive syndication investments, right? From people that you know. So building a community, staying in touch with people and just connecting has been really what set it apart for me.
Question number three is, what's been the biggest or most influential tool in your businesses over the years?
I would have to say the our investor forum. And again, I don't mean to just go into passive pockets, but any forum where you can interact with people in a way that you're helping each other. And it's not, you know, putting people down, it's lifting them up and helping them learn. And that has been the number one thing, I think, for me, is knowing that I can go post and say, hey, this happened to me. I think I made a bad choice. What do you guys think? And I'm going to get three people saying, hey, here's a lesson you can learn from that. And I'm going to get three others saying, oh my gosh, that same thing happened to me. And I'm going to get another person said it happened to me, but worse. And so just having that interaction, again, it all goes back to community with me. So the investor forums are just irreplaceable, I think.
Yeah. The power of community is so, so important. In one sentence, what has been the biggest failure in your career? What did you learn from that failure?
I don't think there's failures. There's just lessons to learn. So I would say my biggest failure or lesson that I learned is I went in too big with one or two operators. And also, I was not monitoring my liquidity appropriately when I got into passive investing.
It's been a hard thing when asset values go down and interest rates go up. Other way around. Interest rates go up, asset values go down. So then you know, you've got bigger operating costs. So I think a lot of people learned that lesson as well. Final question is, where can people reach you to continue the conversation? I think I know where they need to go, but we'll just remind everyone where they need to go.
Yes, sir. PassivePockets.com. You can catch me in the forums there. You can send me a private message there. And we have a 7-day free trial to join the community. So there's no risk and you can just jump in and see what people are talking about. And I'd love you to message me and connect.
Awesome. And well, look, I want to thank you so much for jumping on today's show. I just want to reflect some of the things I took away from today's show. I think the number one thing I've written down here is the power of community. Like, you have now been able to, you have built a very powerful community with Left Field Investors, and I've seen you guys grow and just, you know, massive champion of you guys, and now to evolve into a really strategic partnership with the biggest real estate educational platform on the globe. Keith, I'm here cheering you on, big fella, and I think that's right. You know, about some of the nitty gritties of what you need to look for as a passive investor. You know, I think the other thing I sort of took away from today's show is, through the power of community, you can not be so overwhelmed by the serial aisle and not think that you have to jump in straight away and make that investment because it's burning that hole in your pocket. You know, these platforms that you're building or have built are there to allow people time to take a breath, to really like use it, to run the numbers, and then use the community to back those numbers up or back the experience up. So I think that's so, so powerful. But did I leave anything out there in that summary?
No, it's phenomenal. And, you know, I don't mean to, I probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, but as a fellow podcaster, I just love the way that you ask the questions. And then that live summary, it's great. You do a great job. And also, we appreciate your support at Passive Pockets and previously at LFI. So this was awesome podcast, and I appreciate you having me on.
Mate, my absolute pleasure. It's a Friday. I know it's a little bit later over on the East Coast compared to where I'm. So I'm going to let you go. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy your weekend. And we will catch up on PassivePockets.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Reed.
Well, there you have another cracking episode, jam-packed with some incredible advice from Jim. Remember, he is now all over PassivePockets.com. If you're watching the video, you can see his awesome new shirt, the very Bigger Pockets-esque branded shirt that's called Passive Pockets. So definitely get your hands on one. Jump over to the website, as I mentioned before, and check it out. It's a freaking awesome new platform. If you've been in real estate investing for a large period of time, you would know about Bigger Pockets. So this is just freaking awesome. And Jim's at the helm leading that collaboration. So I'm excited to see it grow. Jump on, give it some support, give it a like and thumbs up. And that's the same thing you can do with our podcast. If you like this podcast, share it with someone you know who can be beneficial to helping to grow their financial IQ, because that's what we're all about here on this show. And we're going to do it all again next week. So remember, be bold, be brave, and go give life a crack.